Before I begin this morning, I would ask you to join me for just a moment of quiet prayer on this 15th anniversary of the terrorist attacks of 9/11/2001, that there be continued healing and relief for all victims of terrorism in our own country and around the world, so many, many in the last 15 years. For this, let's have a quiet memory and prayer. Now, with the exception of those who are visiting our church today, those of you who are lucky enough to be away for most of the summer, all the rest of us, week after week since June, for several months now, at the end of Mass, have been praying the prayer for the Jubilee Year of Mercy. In today's scripture readings, where we hear Moses talking God out of his vengeance and into mercy, when Paul reminds us that Christ died for sinners like us, when we hear those great parables in the Gospel of Luke, it's a perfect time for us to take another look at that prayer we say often, offer it over and over again without paying much attention. I'm going to ask you to humor me. Open up your hymn books to the front inside cover, and let's take a little closer look at this prayer so we know what we're praying every week, all right? Everybody grab a little book. It's right in the front on the left bottom. Now, I'm going to highlight 4 points. But in order to make you pay attention, I'm going to start in the back, the bottom, and go back to the front. So let's look at the last few words of the prayer. It says, may bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives and the oppressed, and restore sight to the blind. We're asking God's Holy Spirit to give us the grace and the enthusiasm to do that. For those of us who've been praying the sacred scriptures for years, a bell should go off. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus is in the synagogue at Nazareth, his hometown, and he unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he picks a passage which describes the mission of the Messiah in the world, and he says, God has sent me to bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives. Those words are the mission of Jesus in the world. And the prayer asks that God's Holy Spirit would give us, his church, the enthusiasm to participate in that mission. First point. Every time we say this prayer, we ask God to help us participate in the mission of Jesus in the world. Second point. Look up a little further in that middle paragraph. You are the visible face of the invisible Father. Let your church be the visible face. Show us your face. Face, 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 face first. Enough of this face stuff. Any of you guys that like soccer or hockey? It's a face-off. What's it about? If you were to reach back into the Old Testament, you might recall different stories where people were frightened. If they saw God, they thought they were going to die. And Jesus flips it over. Jesus says, if you see God face to face, you have eternal life. Remember when Philip says to Jesus, just show us God and we'll be okay. And Jesus responds, Philip, when you see me, you see God the Father. Oh, you are the visible face of the invisible Father. Jesus is the picture and image of God the Father. If we want to know what God's like, look at what Jesus is like. It doesn't stop there. May your church, that would be you and me, folks, may your church be the visible face in the world. See, as God the Father is made visible in the person of Jesus, so Jesus is made visible in our own time through us. We are God's face. Imagine someone looking at you and seeing God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what we pray. Mission, invisible face. 3, look at that second paragraph again, the second line. This God who manifests his power above all by forgiveness and mercy. What kind of God do we have? Not a God that lords it over us. Not a God that bullies us and intimidates us and scares us to death. A different kind of power. Remember when Jesus met with the disciples and they were competing with each other, who's the best, who's the most important? And he says, the people who rule in this world lord it over their subjects and make their importance felt. It cannot be that way with you. Jesus is showing us a God with a different kind of power, a power that is made known through mercy and forgiveness. If you really know your Old Testament, you might recall that in Jeremiah 31, in the New Covenant, it says that everybody from the old man to the little child will know me, God, by their experience of being forgiven. Forgiveness, receiving mercy, reveals to us who God is. It's right there in the prayer. The fourth and last point. Look at the opening line. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us to be merciful like our Heavenly Father is merciful. You and I are called to treat one another with the same kind of mercy that we won from God, in order that Jesus would be visible in the world. We've been given a challenge, a difficult task, to image God. The Good Shepherd we heard in the gospel, the prodigal father we hear in the gospel, that's who we need to be like if the work of God's mission in Jesus is to be fulfilled. There's only a few over 100 words in that prayer. Mission, visible face, merciful power, be like God. When we say this prayer at the end of Mass, please pay attention.